Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
So the urgency in Tony's story, he didn't come to our family till he was 15 years old.
This is Focus on the Family Minute with Rhonda Stoppy as she describes the journey of adopting her son, Tony.
Steve was his youth pastor, and he came to Christ. He was in a very troubled home, and he just became our son. And in that very short time, we wanted to show him he had come to Christ. We wanted to discipline him in truth, but we wanted to show him what genuine faith lived out in a family looked like. So it was a very short season. But I just got back from their house. They live in Hawaii. I just got back visiting them, and I'm watching him raise his family in truth. Finding a good fellowship for his kids to go to church, raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It was a very short season, but it was genuine and it was purposeful.
More encouraging stories from Rhonda Stoppy about being a wise parent at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
What's the latest news in Paso Robles? It's the grand reopening of the San Paso Truck Stop. The nationally acclaimed cheapest price fueling station in the county is launching its grand opening after a year of historical remodeling restoration. Tired of recent high gas prices? San Paso Truck Stop ranks among the lowest fuel prices in the state. The San Paso Truck Stop has everything you need for busy families and truckers alike. Find out why everyone is traveling to the corner of Wellsona Road and Highway 101. That's the San Paso Truck Stop, open 24/7.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
And now, The Rest of the Story. 100 years ago, it was one of the most exclusive residential communities in the world, located in New York State, about 40 miles from New York City. The land was originally acquired in 1814 by the distinguished Lorillard family. Oh yes, you know the name. The descendants of the Lorillard family were to remain and do to this day at the summit of society. But 100 years ago, October 1886, a grand ball was held to celebrate the opening of the community's new country club. It was the most important date on that year's social calendar. Those who were not considered ultimately acceptable were utterly uninvited. Only the oldest names would pass. Only the bluest blood would flow in the veins of those in attendance. And of course, in accordance with the strict formality of the event, dress was to be strictly formal, anything less unthinkable. And in addition to all of the written rules, this one unwritten, and yet no less scrupulously obeyed among the creme de la creme, follow the leaders. Follow the leaders. It is so pronounced by society's pillars, then so it shall be. And for this reason, on that grand evening, all eyes would be upon the Lorillard family, for they were indeed the leaders of society. And the night of that scintillating celebration, the string orchestra was in the main hall, the swish of ball gowns and the patter of polite conversation, the sizzling of effervescent champagne, jewelry glittered and laughter danced in the air, and suddenly heads turned toward the entrance, and somebody whispered, "Who is that?" And somebody else said, "It can't be." But it was. It was young Griswold Lorillard, the son of the prestigious Pierre Lorillard IV. Now, surely Griswold was not too young to know what he had done, nor too naive to conceive of the shocking impropriety of his physical appearance, and thus with that solitary outrage because of the youngest Lorillard's boorish blunder, the entire Lorillard family's status was jeopardized. Next day, a fuming society columnist declared that young Griswold should have been put in a straitjacket long ago. And what was the young man's excuse for his outrageous state of dress? Well, now let me explain. This autumn ball, first held a century ago, became an annual tradition at that lakeside country club in New York. And even today, and especially today, the highest of society recall young Griswold Lorillard's explanation for his appearance that October night. What he said was that his daddy made him do it. And that was true. Pierre Lorillard IV, Griswold's father, had designed Griswold's grisly outfit, had even considered wearing the getup himself. But then at the last minute, he'd lost his nerve and had it tailored to fit his own son. Now, of course, you remember the name, the Lorillard family. You think of them as tobacco barons. But now you're going to have something else for which to remember them. That outrageous getup. And yet the glaring, daring apparel that so shocked society in 1886 was eventually accepted and sometimes even preferred to the traditional white tie and tails. First worn at the Tuxedo Park Country Club in the exclusive community of Tuxedo Park on the shores of Tuxedo Lake. So now you know what they call that shocking, ultimately trend-setting suit of clothing. Only now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today I have 2nd District SLO County Supervisor candidate Michael Aaron
Woody. That's a mouthful. Yes, it is.
On the show.
It's a lot easier to run for something simple like, I'm running for the State Assembly. Oh, I'm running for City Council.
And we're talking about a number of different things. I do want to, I'm trying to put a point out on all this government grant and how ineffective government is in California. We're going to go to another thing.
A bit. Yeah, very good.
Yes. So we have, as many of you know, because we have a very good group. We have the Reach React Alliance, sure. And they have Saro Rizzo as their vice president. He has done a terrific job of getting. He first worked to make this known by the public. He then pushed for President Trump to do immediately when he got in to do an executive order. He then pushed for them to start buying off and stopping the wind energy in California.
It was to buy back the leases.
They've already agreed to buy back one, and they're already in the process. They're buying back one lease. That is with Golden State. There are three different companies out there. And what that means is the federal government has said most of these companies are not U.S. companies. They're overseas companies. They're mostly oil companies. Yeah. And they said, if you buy back the leases, we'll allow you to instead, we'll give you the money, but you've got to invest it in natural gas and oil in the United States. Golden State agreed to do it. Golden State is now, that one is done. I'm hearing there may be negotiations with another one. This is moving on, but now I'm getting into the fun stuff. So when they were talking about doing this,
right.
And the state of California was saying, we really want this. We're going to put a ton of grant money into it. We're going to do all these studies and look at how this is going to work. Remember, the actual oil wells are on federal land. They don't have anything to do with it.
Right.
This isn't their, they don't have a say in that. So anyway, and they also said when they were pushing this, in the beginning there'll be people working on the construction, but in the end there's only going to be about 250 people employed in this county at a time it could massively impact the hospitality industry, which is our number one industry in this county. So you have something that can hurt our number one energy, but it's only going to employ 250 people. So,
and not to cut in, but it's also at the detriment to probably the crown jewel thing that people come here for, which is the coast of California.
Yeah.
This is like developing Yosemite Valley. It's like, wait a minute here. Okay, I'm sorry to interject, but yes.
Absolutely, but interesting. So I get some press releases. Someone at Cal Poly says,
right,
we've already trained 300 people to work at Golden State, and we had 300 people that were going to work out at their thing. First of all, it's not going to open for about 15, 20. Even if it gets done, it's not. It's going to be a long time. If it had gotten done,
well, geez, I mean,
and why would you why would you train 300 people for one of three, and when they're all total going to have 250? I found that,
and they're making it sound like that there's a you know, an industrial building already built somewhere, some industrial complex, and the doors are getting ready to open, and we got all these trained people that are all ready to go, and all we need to do is have a ribbon cutting and open the doors, and everybody's going to get to the desk and get to work.
But there was never going to be 300 for Golden State. It was going to be one third to 250. So the whole thing did not make sense. None of it made sense. But then I look at the state. The state of California is now doing an investigation if they can sue the Trump administration for paying off Golden State, because they've spent $100 million already on consultants and studies. You spent $100 million? Why?
Well, it's, yeah, and as far as, if that's the case, that they're suing the Trump administration for that, I'm not an attorney, but I will say this. My first blush says, if a private company has a contract with a government agency in general, and both the government agency and the contractor themselves agree to a settlement to move in a different direction, I'm not really clear what you would sue over.
And this one is the state of California, because it was part of their energy profile. They're just doing an investigation right now. I don't believe they have a lawsuit. I've talked to an attorney who said, absolutely, this is blustering. But now they're arguing, we lost $100 million on this. You put $100 million into consultants. Why do they keep doing these things? I don't understand all the money.
Are you talking about high-speed rail?
No.
Oh, you're talking about
wind energy. Okay. The state of California is complaining we lost $100 million that we've already spent. How did you already spend $100 million?
I don't know. Now, let me throw this into the mix when it comes to consultants, because I know a lot of people get frustrated over the use of that when it doesn't need to be done. I'm one of them. However, I mean, let's be fair about it for one second and always say that government agencies have to go out there at times and hire people or organizations that are highly specialized over something on the side that government agencies cannot employ as a full-time employee or group. Okay, so, let's make sure we all understand that. And I think most reasonable people do understand that. But the question becomes, I think, what you're approaching, which is, how are we spending so much money on these consultants when they're not, on these projects that are not delivering what they're supposed to be delivering? Who's really winning in all of this?
Absolutely. And I just think there's so much spending when they knew this was going to be nine times as expensive, and now they're saying more. When in the beginning they said these things will last, well, I don't remember, 12, 15 years. Now they're saying 4 or 5 years before we start having to do replacements.
Right.
I mean, it ended up being not what they said it was. But why spend all that money on something that's untested?
See, and that's what gets me so much. It goes back to something that, Karen, you and I have talked about this at length, is, you know, it's the whole, wait a minute, where is this all going? I keep going back to this same old mantra. 2015, we know what we were told in our community meetings. It was reported in the paper, so nobody has to take my word for it. Just do the research out of the local news reports that took place over the last 10 years. A project that started out, offshore wind, it's a project that started out with a handful of turbines, no higher than about 600 feet tall. That's what we were approached with. We'd go 30-some-odd miles off of Morro Bay. We were not aware that they were going to go not west of Morro Bay, but actually northwest of Morro Bay, about 20-some-odd miles, plus miles, off of areas like San Simeon, Cambria, and the North Coast area. Now those same projects have gradually evolved into three lease agreements, and the lease agreements allowing, as reported in news and documented, turbines up to 1,100 feet tall. This is that kind of continuing shift that has made so many people frustrated. And if you understand the history of energy along the Central Coast in San Luis Obispo County, in particular, what I've always talked about, which was how we got to this point with the three stacks in Morro Bay, and you understand the real long-term 75-year history of this, you realize there's this constant movement of the line that has led to the point that we're at right now. And a lot of people don't want to look back for the last 75 years and say, how did we get here? You've got to understand that. And there's this constant feeling for the last 10 years now with offshore wind that here we go again. It's the constant moving of the line. And this is why so many of us are so frustrated over this. The difficult part is that when you're against something like this or you speak your mind on it, you instantly have to go through the pushback of the negative. Oh, you know what? You're bought by the oil industry. You're getting secret money from this. You're getting, and I'm sitting here, and we're all sitting here saying, no, sorry, hate to tell you this, but we're just going by what our community concerns are. My family's concerns have been for generations now. And we can't even get to the table and talk about that. And that gets hard sometimes because that's the discussions that we need to be having in this community.
And I absolutely agree. I want to kind of switch focus. I want to go into your race a little bit.
Okay.
Now, I had been told that there was a hit piece put out on you. And I actually, somebody from another radio show called me late one night. I was actually already asleep. I picked up the phone.
Hello.
Have you seen this? And I was like, oh, I have no, I haven't even seen it yet. I'm not sure what this is. Can you describe it? What I was told is that the public is not happy with it. Multiple people called into this other radio show and just said, this was ridiculous. Tell us what this flyer said and why are so many people upset about it?
Well, oddly, let me tell you the backstory on this. I had no clue this was going to happen. I had no idea. It ended up being actually, hey, we're getting a whole bunch of calls for yard signs now. So that was kind of one of those, okay, well, what exactly did this say? Because I'm getting calls for yard signs right now. But what happened is, Jim D'Antona decided to do, it's the classic hit piece where you take quotes and comments from somebody from 10 years ago and you say, look at what they said. And there's no context to what the comment was. The classic one, let's start with the very first one on there, said, you know, I said the quote, you know, and I've said this before in context, which was, I am the real Republican. But anybody who knows me knows that when I've made that comment in the context of doing an interview, what I've always said is that the Republican Party today is not what it used to be historically, going back to Abe Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, etc. The Republican Party historically has always been the one that has supported civil rights, women's rights to vote. Obviously with Lincoln and the whole slavery issue, and obviously with Teddy Roosevelt and the preservation of land.
But you were a Republican 20 years ago anyway, right?
Right, exactly.
So you were a real Republican.
Right, but what he's trying to say is he's trying to take that quote and to run that, you know, that fear thing and says, oh my gosh, this guy's a far right, you know, lunatic that's going to go out there and, you know, club baby seals in the morning and he's just hiding in plain sight. And it's like, well, no, what I've always said on this is that the Republican Party, as it stands today, with its issues and whatnot, does not represent the values that I've always seen the Republican Party historically as it evolved from Abe Lincoln. And that's where I said the phrase, you know, I am the real Republican. But he's trying to take that and turn this into this partisan continue. Well, it's all about the balance of power on the Board of Supervisors. And it's not about the balance of power. It's about power that the people should have to solve issues. But
will tell you.
And then, of course, he used a really crummy picture of me, which is always classic.
Well, that's what people have complained to me about. They said it's the worst picture they've ever seen. But the other thing is,
that's the thing.
You're a handsome man.
I appreciate that.
I have never been a Republican. I was a Democrat most of my life. I went to decline to state during the time that I found the corruption with Adam Hill,
sure. And
I found the corruption and the people running, there were part of the Democratic leadership came after me with horns.
Yeah.
And I believe they even hired people to harass my family and me on social media. And I've had very moderate views all the way around my whole life, but my parents were Democrats. I was a Democrat. And I thought, I'm going to decline to state because I don't want anything to do with this. I am not hard right or hard. I have strong views about many things, but they're all over the place. And I have voted for Democrats and Republicans. I don't vote party. I vote person.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's so many of us that do that today, including myself. That's why, you know, I've talked incessantly about this, you know, and with, you know, great pride that, you know, I said, hey, listen, I left this whole partisan, you know, it's your team against my team ideology that we've evolved to in the last 20 years since social media has come into play. And it said, listen, I'm not a member of any of this. You know, we need to start approaching these issues one for one, depending on what the issue is. You know, you vote for good people. That's what this needs to be, especially when it comes to local public policy, when it comes to community issues and community problems that we're facing throughout this county and throughout the United States, candidly. You know, I've had my share of disagreements with both parties. I've had my share of disagreements with, you know, the classic being, you know, as he tries to, you know, say that I'm, you know, try to infer, he, oh my gosh, he's this, you know, evil MAGA guy or something like that. It's like, well, that's real funny because I was the guy from the very beginning that have kept saying, you know, I'm the pro-choice guy, for example, on social issues, pro-choice, you know, support same-sex marriage, et cetera. And as I've shared with people, you know, that's who I am. That's who I've
But that has
been.
Nothing to do with this race whatsoever.
Well, yeah, and that's what
they're trying to, what I have noticed is there's a group of people that want to call anyone that is not with them a Trumper.
Right.
There's things Trump has done that I very much like. There's things he's done I don't like. But to think that you're going to make, that everything is about Trump. Trump has nothing to do with this election.
Yeah, and seeing that's where, you know, you get the strategies, and it happens both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They try so desperately to rally their base by telling everybody who's registered Republican or registered Democrat that if they're not registered as part of our team, hate them. Or if they have been or haven't been in the past, you have to hate those people always at every time. And there are so many of us, and there's continue to be this growing, incredible movement just across the United States that people have said, wait a minute, we're facing real problems right now. I don't have time for this, you know, you name call this or you do that. But but honestly, on a personal level, I mean, I saw the flyer and I looked at it. I literally shrugged my shoulders and just tossed it in the trash and just said, okay, anyways, back to, back to issues that we're facing here. You know, that's all you can do. And it's really unfortunate that it's taken this turn, because when things like this happen in a campaign, you're no longer talking about the issues. But I just continue to say, I'm not going to respond to it.
I find this almost a non-issue. I thought it was bigger than this.
Oh, it's just nonsense. It really is.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Michael Aaron Woody.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks retreating from their record run and oil prices swung, and the AI rally took a pause as uncertainty around the U.S.-Iran peace talks weighed on investor sentiment. Investors are also cautious ahead of the jobs report for April, which will be released on Friday morning. In the meantime, investors continue to digest earnings reports. Strong earnings have helped power Wall Street's recent rally. 84% of S&P 500 companies reporting earnings have beaten estimates. Most all of the S&P 500 sectors were lower except for tech. Oil prices rose with West Texas Intermediate crude at over $96 a barrel. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Salesforce, and IBM. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Goldman Sachs, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow down 314 points, the Nasdaq lower by 33, S&P 500 down 28. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
When disasters hit and cell networks fail, Rapid Radios keeps you connected. Instant push-to-talk with coast-to-coast range. No contracts, no monthly bills. Trusted by law enforcement, government agencies, and over 500,000 users. Always ready when your phone isn't. Because in an emergency, seconds matter, and reliability isn't optional. Go to rapidradios.com. Use code RADIO for 5% off and free shipping from Michigan. Rapid Radios. Communication redefined.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stiefel, 238-3080.
The Downtown Paso Robles Main Street Association is pleased to announce the annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Enjoy everything the olive and lavender industries have to offer. Demonstrations, arts, crafts, collectibles, food, and more. The annual Paso Robles Olive and Lavender Festival this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in the downtown city park. Admission is free. More info at PasoRobles.org.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. Also an investigative reporter for Cal Coast News. I wanted to tell you, I got Michael Aaron Woody. He's running for District 2 Supervisor for Slo County against Jim D'Antona. One of the things I have noticed is people that work with Tom Folks on the re-elections, very often they do two things. They either go after fracking, and they want everybody to agree, let's do a resolution, we're not going to do fracking.
Right.
There's no fracking in this county because fracking is for shale 10,000 feet deep. And we may have some in the high mountains going over to Kern County. Oil isn't everywhere. Our oil, they have oil and shale in Santa Maria. It's an average of 800 feet deep. Fracking is only for oil that's at least 10,000 feet underground in shale. Not going to happen here. The other thing they always cry is, we got to do a resolution. We're not going to do offshore oil. There was a citizens, we did a ballot initiative. We will not do infrastructure. You are not going to have offshore oil. There's actually right. already offshore oil. There are companies that have leases in this and the water's off Slo County. But guess what? They aren't going to do it because they can't get the oil from there because we won't allow onshore oil support systems. Not going to happen. It's, what's this, 30, 40 years?
Yeah.
But every 4 to 8 years, they bring it up. So again, this time, I thought it was interesting. Jim D'Antona is working with Tom Folks, and he has come out with, I am very opposed to offshore oil, and we need to do this thing and say we're against it, and the whole kit and caboodle. So I looked at his disclosure forms. He has three different stock things he's invested in.
Right.
One is an oil company. I showed you that when you came in, and you looked very surprised.
Before I say anything on that, let me capitalize on what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Let me take it a step further and go into onshore for 1 second. We have people out there today that are trying to scare voters into saying, well, you know, we also have to stop the Trump administration for, you know, they're going to put, you know, oil drilling next to Los Osos, you know, elementary or middle school out there. And, you know, it's these scare tactics that are going in, because what nobody wants to talk about is back in 2022, the state adopted, as you know, AB 1137, that prevents those types of things from going next to any of these schools or churches or anything else like that. So it's this constant, to what you were saying, it's this constant scare tactic on issues, these visceral scare tactics that people say, you know, this guy's evil over here, this guy's terrible, and we know he's really bad because he took a really bad picture of him and mailed it to a whole bunch of people. That prevent us from actually having, discourse over dealing with real issues that we have going on in this community. Now, to your point on the Form 700s that you were talking about on GEMS.
Your financial disclosures.
Yeah, the financial disclosures, excuse me. The thing was, is that I got his disclosures. Oh my gosh. I waited about a month before I pulled them because to be honest with you, it didn't even interest me. It really didn't. Because I pretty much assumed that he wasn't going to have anything on there like he was invested in. I don't know. Who knows why? Yeah, I just thought that's not even my concern on that. I wanted to just stay focused on what I'm doing, what we're doing. So when I walked in here and you showed this to me, you said, you know, he's invested in oil. That's why I looked at you and wrinkled my forehead and thought, he is? I thought, first thing I was going to say is, no, he's not. No way. He couldn't be. And you just pulled it up on your phone. I looked and I thought, okay, that's interesting. I'm not sure how to address it at this point.
But it wouldn't be interesting. It doesn't matter, except that he says he's so opposed to oil and we have to fight it. He's invested in oil. You know, that was the thing that surprised me.
Yeah, and then you get into, you know, his affiliation with... Well, I'm not even going to get into it. Because, see, here we go. We're going to go down the path of not talking about, you know, water, home prices.
I'm going to point one thing out.
It drives me crazy.
You had some investments. You're actually much more financially secure, it appears.
My finances are boring.
You did have Victoria's Secret as one of your stocks.
Oh, God. Yeah, by the way, yeah, I'm invested in Victoria's Secret, okay? I'm invested because they are very good... clothing company. So that's why I'm best. And you know what? And I'm going to tell you something. They're doing well on the stock market, by the way.
I'm sure you saw, you seem to be someone that's financially very secure.
Yeah.
I know, again.
Victoria's Secret, right. Okay. I knew this would come out.
I read yours too.
Yes. Thank you. I'm glad you did.
But you're not saying I'm opposed to lingerie.
No, I'm very pro lingerie. Okay. I plead guilty to that. They are a very quality company with a very quality product.
But the only reason the other one is because he has come out massively against oil companies.
Sure.
And that's the same thing Bruce Gibson did. Bruce Gibson had worked for oil companies as a geologist, and he was invested in oil companies. When I called him to ask questions about it, he immediately sold and then disclosed that he'd sold his stock. I found it odd. You work for the oil industry, you're invested in the oil industry, and now you're saying you're anti-oil. I do look at what people invest in. And I look at people that are doing well financially because they're a little smarter on their investments. You know, I saw someone else that did real well, and they had a bunch of McDonald's stock, and then I noticed.
Oh, that's a smart one. Yeah, it goes
up. But when you're looking at stock and you're invested well in stock and you've got money, and you show that you're doing well in your investments, It's something to be proud of. And I've watched different people when I've been surprised. There are people I didn't think have money. When I look at 700 firms, sometimes I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it can be. And, you know, I'm not a, you know, stock pro or anything, but I always, the two I'm invested in is, you know, obviously Victoria's Secret, now that everybody knows. They have a quality product, okay? Let's stop. This is very embarrassing. And the other one, of course, is Peloton, because Peloton took a real hit, and I've decided to invest in them because I really do believe in the longevity of Peloton down the road. But we're not here to talk about investment strategies. I use their product. I enjoy their products.
I
don't know how to really even address this.
I just find it interesting when people say they're opposed to something
and
they're invested in it or they work with it. And I find that's, I don't care. I'm not anti-oil. I don't care what people are invested in. But if you're going to come out and say, I'm anti-oil, you need to be anti-oil with me. And then you find out they have stock in oil. It just kind of...
It can feel disingenuous.
And it would be different if you had 50 stocks. You have three.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That's why it was a little bit more surprising.
Yeah. And you know, when you pointed that out to me, that's why I wrinkled my forehead of it. Because when you first said it, I thought, no, can't be. Because I have his four 700s. I pulled them up eventually, and I had them on my computer screen, and I threw it in the trash and went, okay, whatever, I don't care. I just want to see if there was just something really strange with, you know, maybe had some salary from something or that I never knew about or something. But, you know, he didn't. And, you know, and I thought, okay, whatever, get on with the day. You have to be careful when you run for office or you're in the public eye. And if you're going to say that you, you know, have a position on an issue, it could be oil, it could be lingerie, it could be whatever it is, and you're going to say that this is a problem and I'm really concerned because this is a terrible industry. Being invested in that industry can raise a bit of question over your veracity on an issue. And I would say that would be something that you know, maybe he should talk about. And unfortunately, he won't come on to shows like this, and amongst many other shows that he's avoided as well. And, you know, just explain, you know.
How much of that district is San Luis Obispo? How many of the voters, percentage-wise, of that district?
Percentage-wise? That's a good question. I know half of them... This is very rough when I say this. In the volume of voters in Los Osos and Morro Bay, those two communities themselves represent, ballpark when I say this, roughly half your voters right there. The rest of them are scattered amongst a small area in San Luis Obispo, which is just north of Madonna Road, almost down to the Target Shopping Center, down off of Los Osos Valley Road. You have, and then obviously you go into Cayucas, Harmony, which is a large metropolitan area of Harmony of 14 people, and then you have Cambria and San Simeon. But basically half your voters come from those two communities, Los Osos and Morro Bay. So the slice that's in there, I think that represents roughly, oh my gosh, I thought it was close to almost about 15% of the voters.
So it's very small.
Yeah, it's not this huge thing, but it is an important part of it because they have their unique issues in the city of San Luis Obispo. But we have a small slice of it.
So it's 15% of your voters approximately. Right. So it's not 15% is a small section. It's like Oceana to District 4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they definitely have their unique issues down there by the school, what's going on in their neighborhoods and their parks and whatnot. They definitely have their issues going on down there that they need with the county. But the difficult part, of course, is that it is an incorporated city. So a lot of the services they get actually from the city itself. So when they have their issues going on, they usually contact their local city council. And although they deal with social issues that the county provides, when it comes to their just day-to-day government, it's primarily from the city of San Luis Obispo. As opposed to, when somebody needs something out of Los Osos, everything goes to the county. So and we're their front line on that.
And does Cayucas vote similar to Morro Bay? I know Morro Bay is one of the most liberal cities in the county, but they don't, again, one of the issues is it's about as Democrat-oriented as is SLO, but the difference is I notice that Morro Bay people vote in Republicans and decline to state and yes. Democrats. They look at the person, I think more than any other city, they care about their city, they care about the battery story.
Right.
The wind energy, you have people there that want it, and you have people there that are passionately opposed to it.
Sure. When it comes to, this is an interesting phenomenon in politics that a lot of people get wrong. When you have a small community, and I say this generally as 10,000 and under, for example. When you have a small community, the dynamics of the politics of a small community, all throughout the United States, by the way, is very centralized into community issues. In other words, you could find a small town community in what's considered a very conservative part of the country. And they have their conservative leanings when it comes to national politics and national policy. And they will vote a certain way for the White House, for example. And you can usually count on it to go that way. But because they are a small community, when it comes to their local issues for their local city councils, the aldermen, the board of supervisors, or whatever it is they're talking about, those small communities, the dynamic of a small community is that they come together in a very diverse hodgepodge group of people, Democrats, Republicans, Green, or whatever, and they all walk in there and say, we have a problem with our water bills. We have a problem with our lack of park space. We have a problem with our roads. We have a problem with our policing, our sheriff, or whatever it is. The title or the coloring of partisan politics in small communities goes away very quickly. Because as a community, they all come together in these small town meetings and they all walk in there. And you have diehard liberals, you have diehard conservatives, and everything else in between. And all of that goes out the door when it comes to community issues. Now, in this district, what makes it oddly unique is that you have these smattering of small communities, Los Osos, Cambria, or Harmony, Cayucas, Morro Bay, et cetera, Ragged Point. And every one of these communities is talking about their unique community issues. And they're not walking into the room saying, hey, my water rates are really a mess in Cayucas, but you know what? I'm a Democrat supporter, I'm a Trump supporter. They're all walking into the room angry over what's going on in South Cayucas over their water rates. And that's a bipartisan issue. So when you run, try to run on partisanship along the coast of California in small communities, it will always backfire. You have to talk local community issues to these places.
And battery storage, so Cayucas, it's water for the south part.
Yeah. Cayucas has got all kinds of issues with Airbnbs and whatnot. So, yeah, there's a lot of issues going on out there.
And then you have the Morro Bay. It's the battery storage and the wind energy.
Battery and wind energy, yeah.
Los Osos is wind energy as important.
Yes, wind, and they have their water issues and the seawater intrusion. But likewise, if you live in Morro Bay, you're not concerned over Los Osos seawater intrusion. You know of it. But that's not what's driving you on election day. You have to talk community neighborhood issues to all of these coastal communities.
We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and be back with more with Michael Aaron Woody.
When it comes to selling your home in the North County, one agent can only do so much.
That's why we show up as a team.
I'm Seth Peek.
And I'm Karen Peek.
And we're the Peek team.
And equal partners in every sale.
Pricing, marketing, negotiations.
We both do it all.
Two professionals reviewing every detail.
Two voices advocating for you at every step.
We tag team the work.
So nothing gets missed.
One mission.
Sell your home with minimized headaches.
We're the Peek team.
At Peek Realty.
And we work together for you.
Thinking about selling your home in North County? Reach the Peek team at Peek Realty. Just Google Peek Realty. That's P-E-E-K Realty. The Peek team at Peek Realty live wonderfully on the Central Coast.
DRE number 0219-9910.
Well, Rich London, it's spring. If I need a mattress, why should I spring into the mattress specialist?
If you look around, you're going to see mattresses everywhere in this store.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
They are stacked up almost to the ceiling, and I'm not kidding. And they're all on sale right now because I've got too much stock and I need to move it. So come on down quick and save big.
Enjoy the special springtime savings at the mattress specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
SpringStreet Mobile offers a full synthetic Mobil 1 oil change. It helps keep your car safe, reliable, and long-lived. Every service includes our signature service for no worries driving. We want you to leave here ready for the long haul. Every full service includes checking your lights, wipers, tires, fluids, belts, hoses, and horn. Come on down to SpringStreet Mobile and experience good old-fashioned customer service.
Back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vivi, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I've got District 2 Supervisor Candidate Michael Aaron Woody on the show. We were talking about a number of things.
And lingerie supporter. Do not accuse me of being inconsistent with my values on this.
So. One of the things that reporters, and we used to do this way more, there used to be just hordes of reporters going over all the government documents, but media has been so disenfranchised. The funding for it is way down, so there just isn't the looking. But when you take a look at somebody's investments, you look for their financial stability. Yeah. You look for, have they done well in life? You look for, actually, you've done very well in life for your age. I did notice I look at the two candidates and how they've done in life, and I look if their investments argue about what they say they support. And that's what we were saying earlier. If you're going to say I'm anti-oil like Gibson did, and when Gibson got caught, he just sold and said, oh, I forgot I had that. But he only has three.
Right.
And when you only have three and one of them's an oil company, you have stock in three companies and one's an oil company, it's a little bit, and you're talking anti-oil, it's a little disingenuous.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, Jim would have to, you know, if he wishes to, have to address if he'd like to. You know, and that's why I know we were making a joke about this. It caught me off guard when you said, you know, you're invested in Victoria's Secret. Well, I'm consistent. I support, and I'm invested in Peloton exercise equipment, treadmills, et cetera. I support, you know, sweat and sex. I mean, but I'm very consistent with this view. I feel strongly on these values. So there you go.
Yeah, no, you're not arguing about, again, it has to do with where you're coming from. In this world, and people right now, and we were talking about this, they're starting to look and say, I want things cleaned up. Like, you know, they're mad about the amount of graft and corruption. They're mad about the lack of ethics and integrity. And I am finding more young people, and even really young people, like the 20-year-olds.
Oh, yeah.
I there was a birthday party when one of the people was there, and literally said they didn't want to talk to a family member ever again because they had cheated on someone. And I said, well, you know, people do things wrong. And they said, but I want ethics. There's a real push for a more ethics, integrity, responsibility.
Just in life in general.
And people are mad about the corruption and the graft to a degree. And government is so broke. And they want things cleaned up. And they don't want the crime. They want things cleaned up.
And it's a frustration that a lot of people have that there's a real sense that government doesn't listen. And this goes far beyond even politics. There's a real frustration that people have when it comes to a proposal for any project. And it could be offshore wind. It could be a hotel project. It could be a subdivision of homes. And there's this real feel of, you know, that the project was proposed originally and they go to a government agency to talk to staff and then the staff talks to the elected official for the region. So you got these three entities together in the room who in essence decide, hey, this is a pretty good idea. Now what we're going to do is we've decided it's a good idea. So what's that process that we have to go through? Oh, we have to have some community hearings and then we have to have a vote on the planning commission or we got to do this. And it's gotten to the point where there's a feeling that community is nothing more besides the speed bump that we have to get around in order to get through what we've already decided is good for everybody. And there's a real frustration with that because, you know, you show up as a community member and, okay, here's your 3 minutes. Thanks. We're going to do this anyways.
But one of the things I'm noticing too, though, is you'll have someone that has a property and they want to put an extra house on it or they want to redo their kitchen.
Or just, yeah, redo.
And we have people fight that literally fight almost everything.
Sure, yeah.
The projects that I think really need, especially when they're going to be giant nonprofit projects, and they're using a lot of government grant money,
yeah.
I don't think there's enough. There's this push to have all this very low-cost housing run by nonprofits, and they're not looking at the fact that they don't pay. Generally, most of these are not paying property tax.
Yeah.
So you end up, for those that remember, Bordenaro was on the show, and there was 80-some million dollars off the tax rolls last year as Sierra Vista went to a nonprofit. Twin Cities went to nonprofit. The big condo development in apartment condo in the San Luis Ranch went nonprofit. Anderson Hotel is now nonprofit. You had all these different buildings going nonprofits, and suddenly you have school districts saying, wait a minute, our budget isn't going to work because they're not one of the primary funding sources, there's three. The two top are sales tax and property tax.
Right.
And then below that is TOT. Yep. When you take, I've never seen, as a reporter, I've never seen property tax in a county drop like this.
No, and that's something interesting about that is we know that nonprofit. Now, I want to make sure everybody understands, it's not that every nonprofit is completely exempt from property taxes across the board blanket. That's not the policy here. But we know that nonprofits have a different tax structure and potentially a different structure when it comes to property taxes. And we know this. Now, I don't have the very specific spreadsheet of every parcel of land that's out there that says, okay, here are the exemptions going on right now. However, when we do talk about, these projects for these nonprofits, that needs to be part of the discussion as well. And that question should be asked at these hearings is that let's talk about, you know, if this project goes in, it's going to put X amount of strain on our infrastructure. Okay, what kind of property taxes are you generating for this? Because in fairness, you know, that should be part of the discussion. It's not to say that you shouldn't approve a project like that. But that discussion seems to be missing. And now that we see an 80-some-odd million-dollar drop that's been brought to my attention, it's like, okay, let's analyze this one, too. We need to talk about this.
And when you're looking for nonprofits, when you're saying, let's tax every developer, have them pay into a thing that we give to nonprofits to build low-cost housing that's going to be run by nonprofits, and these are not people's homes. They're homes, but they're not owned by them.
Right.
This is them going in. The nonprofit makes money. And let me tell you the other big thing they do. They get money to buy the property. So let's say they get $14 million to buy an existing building, and they're going to make it into a nonprofit. Guess what? Half the time, they're using government funds to buy it, but it ends up going in a personal person's name to be used for nonprofit housing for a certain amount of decades. But this the government's subsidizing it. The government's paying for it. A private guy's owning it.
Right.
It just seems a little odd.
And it's hard because I sit on the Saline Tribal Council, obviously, as you know and everybody knows. And, you know, we are a nonprofit. We are 501c3. I think it is, but we're nonprofit. But I can assure you, we're a nonprofit that literally is scraping by every month just to make, you know, basic bills of phone bills and stuff like that. That's our nonprofit. But some of these nonprofits, I think where it gets can be concerning for people is that when these groups are getting these grants and whatnot, and then you see the salaries that some of these groups are making, and sometimes that can be a little concerning because the general feel is that a nonprofit should be a group of people who are like Morro Bay Beautiful. You know, it's just it's a nonprofit. They're getting donations to plant plants and put flowers in. And that, to me, has always been the community idea of a nonprofit. But when people start seeing these entities that are large scale and you have salaries of people making that are rather sizable salaries, you know, be very clear about this, very sizable salaries for some of these people, that can get a little concerning. Because not only are they making something like that, but then are they paying the correct amount into our property taxes? And how does this affect our budgetary issues?
And also when we have the second most nonprofits per capita for a county in the United States.
Did not know that.
And we have...
Interesting.
There are nonprofits, for example, Meals on Wheels, needed. I think I volunteered with them for years. They are a fabulous group. It is a big deal. A lot of them are having trouble getting donations when you have so many nonprofits and everybody's got their hand. And some groups don't have their hands out.
Yeah,
some groups are. I know a couple groups that are self-funded by their members. There's one group, they give grants to young people in South County. And all the members just throw a bunch of money in and decide who's getting the grants. We have some great nonprofits that really nobody's making. They have not one employee. This is literally just kindness by a group of people that want to give teenagers money to go to college.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, the vast, vast, vast majority of nonprofits, that's what they are. And they're amazing organizations doing amazing work throughout this entire community. And they have a nonprofit status just because that's how they have to run it. But, you know, there can be some concern over, you know, these large-scale ones
Especially when government is giving grant money and they're promoting it over other types of housing.
Right.
We're gonna end this today, and I want to thank you all. I appreciate you coming in today. I thank you very much.
Invest in Victoria's Secret. There you go.
And thank you for listening.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.